we are very honored to have Miss Samantha Allred with us this morning. She again is from the North Carolina Baptist Aging Ministry, or North Carolina BAM. And if you don't know, I don't want to steal too much thunder, but they are intertwined, you might say, with the North Carolina Baptist Children's Homes. And so many of you are very familiar with that. Some of you met her at the Senior Adult Revival, I believe, over at Enon. And so some of you have met her before. So we are very much looking forward to hearing you. So you come and share with us as the Lord's laid on your heart.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here, and I always say that, of course, anywhere, but I'm especially excited to see familiar faces and just for the chance to come and share. I love any opportunity to talk about NC BAM and to talk about what that can mean to each of us. I was surprised when I got your email inviting me, and I thought, yay, yes. So I have really been eagerly waiting for this Sunday morning. I wish that I had those glow sticks because that is exactly what I want to talk about this morning. And there's no mistake in that, right? God always prepares the way long before we ever know. He prepares all of our steps. And so we're going to talk about how our lives can go from that really neat glow stick to breaking it and lighting up, of course, for Christ. Before I share, though, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for who you are above all else, God. We come to you with open hearts of thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to spend a little bit of time at Four Bush Baptist this morning. I just pray that you prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord, and that as we walk out the doors, your words become action in our lives. You are so good, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, my name is Samantha Allred. Most people know me as Sam. So I am Sam with NC BAM. I do not like green eggs and ham. I will not eat them in the pew. No, I'm sorry, not even with you. So hopefully you'll remember me next time from that one. There was some talk of naming NC BAM, the Baptist Aging Ministry, Senior Adult Ministry. So I would have really been Sam with NC SAM, and I think that could have got real confusing. So I'm glad that we went with BAM, and we did that over 10 years ago. I see you've got me rocking and rolling up there. Thank you. If you'll go to the next couple slides. We are part of the Baptist Children's Home. So before this morning, how many of you had heard of NC BAM before? Just a couple, a few of you. I will say this too, if you have never had the chance to attend the Senior Adult Revival through the association, it's every spring, you are missing out. I've had the chance to go for the last 2 years, and it is one of the greatest blessings of my calendar year. I love it. I look forward to it. And in fact, the very first year I went is kind of what helped to inspire what I want to share with you today. We're going to be talking about the spiritual strength of service and how that works with NC BAM. So we were started about 10 years ago with the Baptist Children's Homes. So how many of you are familiar with the Baptist Children's Homes? One or two more hands with that. Over 10 years ago, the state convention approached Dr. Blackwell at the Baptist Children's Home and said, hey, we really want to have a ministry that focuses on our senior adult population across North Carolina. Started recognizing some of those statistics that senior adults are going to be turning 65 at the rate of 1 every 10 seconds nationally. They said, we need to be equipped for that. We want to be ready to minister and to serve and to admonish and to lift up that age group. There's a big population across North Carolina of 65 and older. So about 10 years ago, the convention came to the Children's Home, and Dr. Blackwell agreed with that vision. He saw the vision for it. And if you ever hear him talk about NC BAM, you will always hear him say there was no template. So we began praying, we began seeking, and we started asking folks, what does it mean to age well? So I ask you that, shout out, what does that mean to you, aging well? Dignity.
Purpose.
health, happiness. We could add to that list, and I'm sure as we go, maybe you will begin to think more about that. And we heard a lot of those same answers about, I want my health, I want my dignity, I want purpose. And what that all boiled down to us was one word, and that's independence. Right? Aging well means I'm independent. I have good health. I have purpose. I have dignity. I have financial stability. I'm fulfilled. I'm engaged. And so that all boils down to our mission, which is help for the journey. We hope to help senior adults who are 65 and older stay safely, independently at home, and have a quality of life for as long as possible. So we operate a call center in Thomasville on the Children's Home Mills Home campus. It serves all of North Carolina, everybody who is 65 and older. All they have to do is call into this toll-free number, and they can receive information and referrals and services to help meet whatever need they have. So when we first started this over 10 years ago, we quickly learned that there were simply not enough resources to meet all the needs. So we said, well, that's just not going to cut it. You know, we started giving out, oh, call this person to help with this, call this group to help with that, and they'd call us back and say, there's a 2-year waiting list. We said, well, that's just not simply gonna work. That's not enough. So we started adding another piece where we would try our best to connect these folks who called us, who were 65 and older, with groups, with volunteers, with somebody in their community that could meet that need. And who do you think we turned to? The church, to us, to you and I, to the church, who are filled with spiritual gifts, with talents, with callings, with skills, with crafts that can help meet these needs. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a little bit. So that's exactly what we do today, is somebody will call us. We have actually found that 80% of the people who call NCBAM do not have a church affiliation. 80% of those 65 and older do not have a church home. Some people will tell me, you know, I just haven't been able to get out. You know, my health has declined, my mobility, I relocated, I moved away, and I just have not been able to go anywhere. But others will tell us, no, I never really found a church to call home that I belong to. So as we'll talk more and as I'll share some testimonies at the end of our time this morning, what we find and what you can imagine is that when somebody goes to help meet a need like construct a wheelchair ramp or drive somebody to the doctor or put in grab bars so somebody can safely use their bathroom, what we find is that they're carrying so much more with them. And of course, that's the love of Christ. Of course, it's the difference between that plain old glow stick that comes out of the package versus when we break it and we put it to use and how it lights up and has a great purpose. And we realize there was so much more there than just that plain old stick we pulled out of the package. So that is NCBAM in a really quick nutshell. If you'll kind of go through the next couple of slides, you'll come up on one that looks like a car. Next, there we go. I have brought with me this brochure. It will tell you a lot about us and who we are. I also brought our newsletter with some highlights of things special that we do. My job is a North Central Regional Director, so I get to go around and tell people about NCBAM and help connect people into needs in their community. And we also do about 40 different workshops all about aging well. It's about aging, it's about health and medicine, it's about caregiving, and so we can come and do special workshops like that. And I would love the opportunity to do that as well and come back with you. So just see me, and I have this, and I can send it on your way. Our number's on there. If you know someone that might need help, we can help get them connected in here in the community to do just that. But what I really want to talk about as we speak a little more deeper about the church responding to these needs is our spiritual discipline of service. What does that mean? What does it mean when somebody says serve, service? What does it mean when we put it into the context of a spiritual discipline? Well, let's start with this thought process. Anyone recognize this car up here? What is it? It's a Chevrolet Bel Air. What color?
Blue.
Blue, sky blue. That's a 1957 Chevrolet Bel Air in sky blue. We ran by our local drugstore the other day, and there's a little soda shop next door to it, and there was one of these parked in the back parking lot. And you'd believe every single person that drove by checked that car out. It looked as good as this one. It was pristine condition. Did anybody ever drive one of these, or your parents had one of these, or a neighbor? How many of you would love to be handed the keys to this car today? Yes. I would too. How much fun would that car be? Well, that was the fact, the case of a certain man. He became the owner of this car. It was that brand new 1957 Bel Air in sky blue. It was given to him in pristine mint condition, and he loved that car. He went to great lengths of maintaining this car, of keeping up its dignity, of making it this beautiful, shiny car that caught everybody's eye. He took it in for regular maintenance, for preventative maintenance. He would wash and wax it every chance he got. This car was in perfect, wonderful condition, and everybody noticed it. And he was able to keep this up for quite some time, but as the years went on, it got a little less of his priority. And so he didn't do the preventative maintenance. He did the regular stuff. He took it in when it needed new tires. He got an oil change as needed. He'd wash it here and there, but he didn't really have time to wax it anymore. And slowly it kind of started to fade. That bright, beautiful sky blue would fade on it. Then over time, it became even less than that. He'd pull it out every once in a while on a Saturday, maybe hose it down. No, I don't really need to worry about new tires. I don't drive it that much anymore. And then it got to the point, if you'll go to that next one, where it started looking a lot like this. He never pulled it out. The auto body shop thought they'd lost their best customer. He didn't get it oil changed. He never washed it. He definitely never waxed it. And soon it got to where it couldn't even drive. For it's like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and another 1, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man who with 2 earned 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And that comes from Matthew chapter 25. We know that in this familiar passage, when the man returns to his servants, he's pleased with those who have turned 5 into 10. And verse 21 says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Share your master's joy. Well, likewise, when the servant who had been given 1 talent returned with the same talent, that man was displeased. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Verse 26 and 27. How often do you and I act like that latter servant? How often do we take that glow stick out and just let it be as it is? We don't go through the lengths maintaining that beautiful car by strengthening our spiritual disciplines, as we talk about. And sometimes we hide our talents and our gifts or the blessings that God gives us instead of putting them to use to glorify Him. We act just like that man who had been given a new car. Oh, he took such good care of it at the beginning. As time went on, life got busier and busier, and other things became his priority, and he took less and less care of it until it could no longer run. And its usefulness was hard to be found. These are the reasons that our spiritual disciplines can matter so much. We're going to talk specifically about the spiritual discipline of service. We'll go to the next. That very first senior adult revival I went to, the Easter Brothers were there. Oh my goodness, they are so talented. They sang, they told stories, they talked with us. They're in their probably, what, late 70s, early 80s, and they go and they do these revivals and these events, and they are so on fire. And one of the brothers said up there, he said, you know, I've decided that I would rather burn out than rust out for Christ. I'm going to go as long as he lets me and with whatever ability I have. It might change. It might not look the same today as it did 15 years ago, 30 years ago, but I would much rather burn out than rust out for Christ. There are many reasons for spiritual disciplines, and when I was younger at our church, we had an evangelist come through, Kenny Greenway. He's fantastic, and he did this weekend like retreat and revival session with us, and he took us through 10 spiritual disciplines in that weekend, and we talked about things like fasting, like scripture, like worship and fellowship. We talked about service, and that's one that really hit home for me. It's one that I'm really passionate about, is helping others find out, how can I serve? He talked about the 5 purposes that you'll see up here, so that we can know Jesus more intimately by worship, by tithing, by fellowship, by reading his word, by serving. So we can develop and maintain that relationship to prepare us to be with Jesus throughout all eternity. There are many reasons for this. We'll go to the next. We're going to look at the biblical mandates for these spiritual disciplines. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like the one who runs aimlessly or box like the one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and I bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." We are mandated by God's word to strengthen all of our spiritual disciplines. Here we see Paul telling the church how important it is to remember that we have been given such a great purpose in life as Christians. We must live a life that's committed to serving, to witnessing, to loving Jesus. And we have to train for that race with determination and purpose. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "You therefore, my son, be strong in grace, that is Christ Jesus. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." We see once again where Paul is telling us, we cannot be concerned with the things of this world that will perish. That man with that beautiful car, oh, he took such good care of it, but as life went on, other things began to take the place where he invested the time into keeping that car useful, drivable. Other things took in, and that got put further and further aside until he had no use for it. Instead, let us seek always the kingdom of God. Let us prepare for the battles and the challenges so that when we need to crank that car and go, we are ready to do so. When God gives us the mission, when he tells us where to go and who to see, we are equipped because we are disciplined and prepared. Let us commit to strengthen these disciplines just as those soldiers train. Well, what specifically is there about service? Why does this matter, and how can I do that? 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, says, "Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and will reassure our hearts before him wherever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things." Serving God is a tangible way that we can communicate his love to a very hurting world. 1 John tells us, don't let us just love in our words, in our speech, but also in action and truth. We've all heard this phrase, actions speak louder than words. I can tell God that I love him. I can tell others that I love God, and I can tell others that God loves me and loves them, but if my actions don't match those words, how much meaning do those words have? Not a lot. While we know our actions don't save us, we know that as James chapter 2:14 reads, "Faith without works is dead. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? In other words, James is trying to tell us that a life that does not commit to serving God might just be a life unchanged by God. We know we become new creations when we accept Christ as our Savior and make God our Lord. That's why in chapter 1, James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Here we see it again in Romans and 1 Peter and Matthew, over and over again. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, according to the grace given to us. We have different gifts. 1 Peter says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God." It's clear in God's word, we are all called to serve, to minister, to live a life on mission, to live a life on go. Many of us want to try to say, "Well, I have not been called to do this, to do that, to give this, to go here. I'm not a preacher, only a few do that. I'm not a missionary, only a few do that." But here we see that we're all called according to our abilities, that we all have a very beautiful gift given to us by God with His purpose in mind. You might not be a preacher, but you may be a teacher. You may be a listener. You may be a builder. He has that purpose for you. When I first joined NC BAM, I was at a WMU meeting, and I was so nervous. I thought, "God, why did you put me here? I have nothing to give. This is not for me. You definitely called the wrong person. I'm so underqualified." And I still question Him on that, but I trust Him. But as we were talking about some of the ways you can get involved with NC BAM, like handyman and friendly visits and meal sharing, different women would kind of speak up, and they would say, "Oh, I can do that. Oh, my husband and I can go here. Oh, I can take my grandkids and we can do that." And I just kind of heard God whisper to me and say, "Sam, don't you see what I've done? These are my people. I have prepared them to do this work. They have a special gift, talent, heart that I have purpose for. Don't worry about it. I've got it under control. I have prepared them ahead of time to do what is needed." And in Matthew 28:19, a verse we're all familiar with, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The Baptist State Convention estimates that there are 5.8 million lost individuals just in North Carolina. 5.8 million people who do not know Christ as their Savior. I cannot count that high. I don't even know how big that number actually is. But we have a lot of work that God has prepared. God has prepared this work, and He is preparing you and I to go out in faith, to serve, and to bring that message of hope to those individuals. I encourage you today, this week, this year, ask God, what are the gifts that you have been given? What are the talents that you have? And what opportunities are there to use those gifts to pour into the lives of others? With 5.8 million people lost in our state, that means it's our doctors. It's our favorite bank teller. It's our next door neighbor. It's our family. What does God have in store for you to do to help reach them? How does God want to use who you are, how uniquely crafted you were, to serve, to bring that message of unchanging love and hope and redemption that is only found in Jesus? We'll go to the next. Let's take one more look at this. Jesus continued, this is Matthew chapter 9, "going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When He saw the crowds, He felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. I love these few verses. We know that Jesus had been out traveling, teaching, preaching. Just before that in Matthew, we see the story of all the miracles that he performed, where the lame man was made to walk, a sick woman was healed after touching just the hem of his garment. We saw demons cast out in the name of the Father. And after all of these miracles, he comes yet to another place and he sees somebody else who were dejected, who were distressed, sheep without a shepherd. And he had still compassion for them. And he tells us the harvest is abundant, 5.8 million. The harvest is abundant. 80% of those calling in CBAM do not have a church home. The workers, though, are few, he says. And so he tells his disciples to pray for the workers. He prayed for you and I, his workers, to go into the harvest. Why does this matter, especially as we age? Well, Moses was 80 when he led the Israelites out of Egypt. Abraham, 75. Isaac, 60. It's estimated that Joshua was somewhere between 68 and 78 when he entered the promised land. There's no age on God's workers. From the very young child to the infant to our senior adult who is the pillar of our church, God has purpose for us, and he has prayed in advance to prepare the way for us to do his good works as he has given gifts to us. Are you willing to respond to that call? Because it is on each of our lives to serve, to love, to have compassion, because we are like sheep without a shepherd. I'm going to close with this quick little testimony here of a group who heard that call and answered it and served by constructing handrails with NCBAM. We got this call from a senior adult. Her name is Betty. She lives in Greensboro. She called us and she said, I don't need a wheelchair ramp, but my handrails, my steps, they're not safe. I need them repaired. And I heard that and thought, well, handrails are got to be a little easier than a wheelchair ramp. So this should be no problem, Betty. Let's see what we can do. We started calling and groups who had volunteered with us before. And every obstacle that could have been was, and then some. And I was thinking, why on earth is this so challenging? You know, these are handrails. And in the time that she needed this, I saw way bigger projects get done. I just kept thinking, God, why is this getting delayed? What's wrong in this picture? Well, Deep Impact Kids Weekend came through, and this is where children and youth leaders volunteered their time. They did it during the summer. It's coming up here at the end of July, so be in prayer. They were going to be in Asheboro at Camp Mundo Vista, and so I got on the phone and I said, look, I don't know if you still need any projects, but we've got some that have been waiting a long time in your area. So the leader, she said, well, let me take a look. She got in touch, and surely one of the groups ended up having the skill to go and do this. They said, no problem, we can take care of it. So we called Betty and things got set up and she was like, it's all right, no worries. I'll see them when they get here. Well, they went to her house early in the morning, got it done. And if they left her house, I always say this, if they left her house at 12 o'clock, at 12:01, NCBAM's phone rang again and it was Betty. And those handrails were done. And let me tell you, the whole town knew it. She had so much joy and energy in her voice. But you know, it really was not about the handrails for her. She was grateful and they were very helpful to her. But it was about that group that God prepared and that he sent with talents and gifts even greater than the construction. That's all I was looking for, man. We just need someone who knows how to build. But God knew so much more was needed. And she wrote us this letter. I'll share it with you. Larry was very kind and a blessing, and so were the others, including the children and their leaders. I was blessed with great fellowship. The love of God flowed. I'm still enjoying God's peace. I feel restored to see the love of God being expressed through little children and their leaders, training them in the way they should go. Oh, by the way, my handrail's excellent. Continue to pray for me and my family. Love and blessings, Betty Caldwell. P.S. Enclosed, please find a donation of $25. Thank you. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." We are his workers. Do we respond to that prayer? God knew that so much more was needed in Betty's life than those handrails. That was just the means to deliver that blessing of fellowship, love, compassion, and encouragement. She said the love of God flowed. His peace restored her. All because of a group who said, "Yeah, we'll go build some handrails. But there's greater work to be done while we're there." We get to hear little stories like that all across North Carolina because churches who support these endeavors by volunteering. So thank you guys for that support, by inviting us out, by getting involved through this. I appreciate you, but I just challenge you, what is that calling for each of you? Can you cook? Can you bake? Can you sew? Can you garden? Can you build? Can you drive someone? Can you just give someone a call? Spend a little time saying, "How are you?" What is the purpose that God has for you? And how will you use it to serve him? Thank you guys so much.
Well, as we were talking about this morning in Sunday school, you know, it is how the Lord aligns things and puts things together. A lot of the elements you said went with our Sunday school lesson this morning, but it's also going to go with what I'm planning on saying down at Vienna Village. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, "Lord, you've got everything together here." But when God called Moses, did he call Moses based on his abilities? Why did he call him? Well, in that call, he said, "Moses, I want to work through you." You might be sitting there and say, "Well, I don't have any abilities. I don't have any special talents." God might be speaking to you this morning and saying, "If you'll just show up, if you'll just be available, I can work through you. The things that you can't do, I can do." God has a purpose and a plan. And I've said this before, there is no Christian retirement age. I've heard many times people say, "Well, it's time for me to step aside and let the young people work." No. I reject that idea. I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us, and as the old hymn says, we'll work till Jesus comes. Amen? And I know, I've been here long enough that I know every single one of you have incredible talents and gifts that the Lord has given you and abilities. What a wonderful challenge. We do need to be disciplined. Some of the times I know growing up I've grown so much in my faith was during ministry, when I was actually doing something for the Lord, serving the Lord in some way. Maybe it was a mission trip, or maybe it was something else. The Lord grew me through that. Maybe this morning, I don't know how the Lord's spoken, but what an incredible challenge. 5.8 million. God took 12 ordinary men and turned the world upside down. I like to say right side up. It was already upside down. What could he do with us if we got serious about intentionally reaching the lost? However the Lord has spoken this morning, we're going to have a short time of invitation. If you need to come to the altar and pray and just say, "God, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but I'm coming to you with empty hands. I'm willing to get on my hands and knees before you and say, 'God, I want to be used by you. Till you call me home, I want to be your vessel. I want to be your hands and your feet that you can use to minister the love and grace of God to someone else.'" Maybe the Lord speaks to your heart and says, You need to be more disciplined. Sometimes we get out of exercise routines. We like to, I'm rubbing my stomach on purpose, but I'm talking about spiritual exercise. We were talking this morning in Sunday school, we should never get to the point where we think I've arrived. I've reached a point, a spiritual pinnacle of achievement. And now it's time for me to put my feet up and just cruise on in the rest of the way. That is a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous attitude to have. We should be constantly growing and reaching, as Paul said, reaching for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ on our lives. Maybe that's you. You say, I'm not disciplined enough. I've quit studying God's word. I've stopped praying. I've stopped ministering. I've stopped serving. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I need to get back involved. I need to get back active. See, one of the things you say, look, you say, but Justin, I've got so many different disabilities. I can't move. I can't do this, can't do that. You can pray. Prayer is powerful. And you can pray. You can support others who are doing the manual work. Pray. Say, God, strengthen these people who are working. Strengthen the missionaries around the world and encourage them. Some of them are going into these difficult places. Pray for those missionaries. Pray for one another. Pray for your church. Pray for those in our community that don't know Jesus. Pray. That's a discipline. However the Lord's spoken, will you respond to Him in faith? Father, thank you so much for the word we heard this morning. We pray for the North Carolina Baptist Aging Ministry that you would provide. Lord, we know you're faithful. We pray that you would provide, give them opportunities to open the door of the gospel to people who do not know you. Use this ministry to reach people, the 5.8 million people in North Carolina that do not know you. Lord, use us here at Forbush. Help us to understand the fields are white unto harvest. May we be the laborers that you send out. To not just observe the harvest, to not just walk by the harvest, to go to the harvest and work in your fields. In Jesus' name, amen.